He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus healed both the physically ill and the spiritually destitute. He healed the leper, the centurion servant, those with mental illness, the paralytic, the woman who was hemorrhaging, the official's daughter, the blind man. He forgave the woman caught in sin, the woman at the well. He came to proclaim the good news to the poor and to seek justice for the oppressed. If we are truly to imitate our Heavenly Father, who values the least of these, can we do any less? The Old Testament commanded the Israelites to care for the poor. Deuteronomy 15:7, "If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them." Deuteronomy 26:12, "When you have finished setting aside a tenth of all your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give it to the Levite, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat in your towns." Leviticus 19:9-10, "When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God." Proverbs 31:8, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute." Isaiah 1:16-17, "Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow." Isaiah 58:6-7, "Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood." Jeremiah 22:13-17, "Woe to him who builds his palace by unrighteousness, his upper rooms by injustice, making his own people work for nothing, not paying them for their labor. He says, 'I will build myself a great palace with spacious upper rooms.' So he makes large windows in it, panels it with cedar, and decorates it with red. Does it make you a king to have more and more cedar? Did not your father have food and drink? He did what was right and just, so all went well with him. He defended the cause of the poor and needy, and so all went well with him. Is that not what it means to know me, declares the Lord? But your eyes and your heart are set only on dishonest gain, on shedding innocent blood, and on oppression and extortion." Jesus commands the same from us in the New Testament. We are to give to those who ask. We are to sell our possessions and give to those in need. We are to invite the least of these to our banquet, rather than the rich, who can return the favor. We are to care for the widow and the orphan. We are to defend the cause of the poor and destitute. Kevin just completed a series on regifting our talents, our time, and our treasure. He asked that we strive to give more of each, and we must. We must not only share financially, but we must champion the poor among us, those who have no voice. And we will suffer the consequences should we fail to care for the least of these. While there are many both Old and New Testament scriptures regarding the consequences, Matthew 25:31-46, which Jeff just read this morning, is the most pointed. It can't be more clear what is required of us. I don't want to be among the goats, and I am sure none of you do either. Each of us needs to search our hearts for how we can better care for the least of these. Hayes Christian helps in many areas, but can we do more? I believe we can, because the need is real. A person earning minimum wage takes home less than $15,000 a year once taxes are taken out. The federal poverty level for a family of one as of 2013 is $11,490, and that is considerably more than my own mother gets. And she is not alone. Many of our elderly live below the poverty level, as do our children. According to the U.S. Bureau of Census, 47 million people live in poverty. 22% of American children live in poverty. Instead of saying these people are hungry, the politically correct term now is food insecure. That takes away the glaring reality of hunger, but it does not take away the actual hunger pains for those who are food insecure. Let's bring it a little closer to home. In Kansas, 14% of the state's population, or 385,000, live below the federal poverty line of $23,000 in annual income for a family of four. In 5 years, 80,000 people have joined the roll. One in five Kansas children lives in poverty. 20,000 unemployed people in Kansas have lost their food stamps, according to the state's Department for Children and Families. These statistics were from September of 2013. The state has reinstated a work requirement in order for families to receive food stamps. Any of us who have looked for work in the last several years know that finding a job is tough. The department states that nationwide, we have three people for every one job. I'd like to share an editorial from The Nation with you. I have checked the information in this and have found it to be correct. This is from January 20th of 2014. January marks the 50th anniversary of the War on Poverty. But what is most notable today is how impoverished our discussion of poverty is. Political leaders in both parties pledge to save the middle class because polls show that most Americans consider themselves part of the broad middle. Democrats tout their middle-out economic policies against the GOP's trickle-down ones. Republicans claim to be fighting to save small businesses and middle-class homeowners from the rapacious demands of government. But very little attention is being given to the poorest among us. Perhaps that's because poverty scars this rich nation. A recent report by the United Nations Children Fund, or UNICEF, reveals that among 35 developed nations, The United States ranks 34th, with only Romania having a higher child poverty rate. We are also next to last in what UNICEF calls the child poverty gap, the gap between the poverty line and the median income of all families below it. Childhood poverty translates into poor health, poor education, and poor prospects. It's no accident that the top country in international education rankings, Finland, also has the lowest level of childhood poverty. So you'd think Washington would be focused on reducing childhood poverty, mass unemployment, family distress. Instead, Washington has decided to administer a little tough love. Congress cut food stamps by 7% in November. And in January, 1.3 million jobless Americans lost their unemployment benefits. In his recent apostolic exhortation, Pope Francis wrote starkly about the moral challenge of poverty. Just as the commandment, "Thou shalt not kill," sets a clear limit in order to safeguard the value of human life, today we also have to say, "Thou shalt not," to an economy of exclusion and inequality. Such an economy kills. How can it be that it is not a news item when an elderly homeless person dies of exposure? But it is news when the stock market loses 2 points. Although the Pope was standing firmly in the long tradition of the Church's concern for the poor, American conservatives responded with hysteria. Rush Limbaugh accused him of peddling pure Marxism. Lewis Woodhill in Forbes scorned him for papal bull. In his recent speech on inequality, President Obama made the case for government action, insisting we are a better country than this. But his agenda is far less impressive than his rhetoric. It includes lower corporate tax rates, more trade accords, streamlined regulations, and a responsible budget, meaning continued austerity. Obama did repeat his call for universal preschool and raising the minimum wage, but neither has been able to receive a vote in the Republican-led House. As it happens, government programs to lift the poor work. Lyndon Johnson's war on poverty brought poverty rates down dramatically, but then was lost to the war in Vietnam. Today, the United States does a much better job lifting poor children out of poverty than it did before Johnson pushed through Medicare and Medicaid, child nutrition, subsidized school lunches, and more. But we do far less than other developed countries. Two fundamental issues should be at the center of debate in 2014. The first, raised by Pope Francis and President Obama, is what must be done to make the economy work for working people? The second was posed by the President. Are we a better country than this? Do we want to be? We know what works, and we can afford it. But are we prepared to do what needs to be done? Are we prepared as Christians to do what needs to be done? Jesus' charge to care for the least of these must include more than just our money. It requires that we become a voice for the least of these.
You've been listening to Jenny Strait at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the Donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111 Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.